le interviste di Media Enough.
Maybe you remember 1 year ago, it was March 21st, 2013, the scientists of the ESA's Planck satellite collaboration revealed to the world the most detailed picture ever of the baby universe, the map of the cosmic microwave background. It was a milestone in the history of cosmology. It made the cover of the New York Times, and it contained some surprises, some unexpected features that cosmologists called anomalies. That is, patterns in the map and figures in the numbers, which slightly but significantly departed from the current theory of the Big Bang. Anomalies with evocative names as the cold spot, the low quadrupole, or the axis of evil. But a study published today on the Journal of Cosmology and Astroparticle Physics suggests a new way of analyzing Planck data which could reduce, or at least modify, the significance of these anomalies. And we are on the phone with the first author of this paper, Anaïs Rassat, from the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne in Switzerland. Good morning, Dr. Rassat.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
First of all, before talking about your method, let's illustrate these Planck anomalies, their names and their meaning.
Great. So the first thing I wanted to say was actually the anomalies have been something that we've been studying for a long time, not just with Planck data. So actually, the way we've been studying the cosmic microwave background on the largest scales goes back to a few decades. There was the COBE satellite in the 90s, and then WMAP, which was the Wilkinson Microwave Anisotropy Probe, which also looked at these temperature fluctuations in the cosmic microwave background. And with those first results in 2003, we were already starting to see some anomalies. And so what's interesting here is that Planck is a completely separate instrument and experiment, and the fact that we were seeing them both in Planck and in WMAP data was what was interesting.
So the cold spot, for instance, was already present in WMAP?
It was something that was observed already in WMAP data, yes, and that's been studied a lot by a wide range of groups and debated. So the idea is that we realized that there's this cosmic microwave background radiation that's peaks in the microwave, and it was discovered accidentally in 1965. And what was interesting was that it was the same temperature everywhere we looked on the sky. At the time, that's what we saw with the instruments we had. And then when we had better instruments, like in the 90s with the COBE satellite, we realized that there were slight fluctuations on the sky. And so we wanted to build better instruments to measure these fluctuations. And so we realized that all over the sky, it's almost the same temperature, but there are some areas where it's slightly hotter and some areas that are slightly colder. And that was actually a good thing for cosmology, because there's encoded in these fluctuations a lot of information about the early universe and a lot of information about our universe in general and what's in the universe. But one of the things we noticed was there was a particular cold spot that was a lot colder than what was expected. And so it was a large area on the sky, about 10 degrees. And this is something that we couldn't actually explain with our current model of cosmology.
And the axis of evil, I mean, what is it?
Yeah, so the axis of evil, the name is actually related, so it was discovered in 2005. It's related to other political events that were happening at the same time. And the idea is also that we notice, so we can study how these cold and hot spots look on the sky, and we can look at them at different scales. So we have some mathematical methods to look at the largest scales and then compare it with things that are happening on the smallest scales. It's difficult to imagine, but the idea was that in our current theory, there shouldn't be any special alignment of these hot and cold spots. There shouldn't be any special direction in the sky, because if there is, then that's very different from our idea that we're not in a special place in the universe. And what we were finding was that on different scales that we were studying, so this was the term was coined by Kate Land and Joe Magejo, who are two cosmologists in London, they were finding that at different scales, there was a preferred direction that looked anomalous. And it had to be anomalous because that was in contradiction with our current theory. And so there was a lot of different potential causes to these anomalies that we were finding in the cosmic microwave background. One of them was that there could be some new physics that we had to change our entire model of cosmology in order to explain what we were observing. But before we get to that really exciting point, we also have to think about other causes. For example, there could be a problem with the data that we were taking with WMAP. So the fact that it was seen with Planck seemed to suggest that it wasn't a problem with the data. But there could also be other things. So it could be foreground emissions from our own galaxy, for example, that were kind of creating features that weren't in contradiction with our model. It was just something much more local. The statistics that we use is actually quite subtle also, so it could be a question of the maths that we're using to analyze this data. And then as I was saying, there's our own Milky Way is kind of very prominent in the sky, and we often have to mask some areas in front of our own galaxy in order to do the analysis, and maybe the masking could introduce some anomalies.
In fact, going back to your paper, the main novelty of your method regards demasking, that is, the amount of discarded data, and in a way, and the motion of the galaxy. Is that correct?
Yes, so there were three things that we were looking at. The first one was we had a new method that was published in another paper with some collaborators of mine from CIRA in France that produces a new analysis of the Planck data and provides a full sky map where we can use the data even in the regions of the galactic plane. So that was the first difference. And actually, that's when we redo the analysis on the cold spot using this full sky map, we find that although we can still visually see the cold spot, when we do the statistics, it's not actually a problem anymore. And the two other things was we were looking at other secondary effects that are either due to astrophysical effects or cosmological effects that also produce hot and cold spots in the cosmic microwave background. And because we're interested in the cosmic microwave background in the early universe, we wanted to remove these effects that were happening after the original cosmic microwave background was created. And when we combine all these things in our analysis, we find that most of the anomalies we looked at weren't problematic anymore. We still want to continue this work because there are still other anomalies that we haven't looked at, and so we want to see if taking into account these secondary effects and the masking removes further anomalies. So this is something we're interested in.
When you say the anomalies were not a problem anymore, you mean they disappeared?
Yeah. So the way basically the mathematical analysis that we do looks at a certain statistics to analyze an anomaly, and then kind of returns a number saying you should worry about this or you shouldn't worry about this. And before the number we were getting was saying we should worry about this, and now it's disappeared. Yeah.
You were talking about the masking, and the idea of one of your methods is to use a reduced or not masking the data. But isn't it risky without any mask? How can you tell what is background and what is foreground, especially near the galactic plane, as you were saying?
Yes, that's a very good question. So the idea is that what we're seeing is kind of several images. It's the true image from the cosmic microwave background, plus some contribution from our galaxy, plus some contribution from stars, et cetera, and we have different what we call components that are added together to create the final image that we observe. And what we want is to separate these different images and only look at the cosmic microwave background. And it turns out that actually each of these images behaves in a very different way. So we have different we're taking the picture in different frequencies, and these different contributions have very different ways of behaving. And so there are, so this new statistical method that we applied to the data helps us really separate out all of these components, and we call that component separation. But the question is, can we trust it? So we have to do extensive studies and simulations to check that we're not actually left with any residual. And so this is something that we've done in this paper, and we've specifically checked if the residual would affect the specific anomalies that we're trying to study. And we find that it's fine, that we can use the data on the full sky.
And the new universe recipe, I mean, I don't know if you remember the quantity of dark energy, dark matter, normal matter, which was slightly changed by Planck results. Could it also be affected by the masking and galaxy motion analysis you performed, or not?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this is something actually that we're looking at. But I mean, we don't have any results right now that we can discuss. But yeah, I mean, this is something that can change depending on exactly how the data is processed.
About the other method, I mean, I'm reading you have taken into account the way in which the galaxy moves.
So the idea is that one of the fundamental principles is that we live in a homogeneous universe. And so that means the observations we're making of the cosmic microwave background should be the same wherever you're looking at it. But we're not actually exactly in a homogeneous universe. And, you know, the reason we know that is because we can see things that aren't homogeneous, like a galaxy isn't homogeneous, there's matter somewhere, and around it there's no matter. And on much larger scales, there's this kind of web-like structure in the way galaxies are distributed in the universe. And on very, very large scales, that's homogeneous. But on the scales of our local group, so we live in a local group of galaxies, what that's going to do is mean that our galaxy is actually going to be attracted gravitationally towards these structures that exist. And so our galaxy is actually going to be moving with respect to the rest frame of this much larger scale where the universe is homogeneous. And because we're observing photons, if you move towards a photon or away from a photon, that affects the wavelength that you're seeing the photon in. So it's a well-known effect that has been studied before, and we took it into account for all the anomalies we were considering.
Like a Doppler effect, more or less.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the other scientists, I mean WMAP and Planck, didn't take into account this effect?
The maps that they've released don't include that effect. They have included it in some of their analysis, but not for all the anomalies.
Next step?
Well, the next step, yes, I guess, would be to look at more anomalies. So there's been a lot of work over the last decade on different features that people are looking for in the cosmic microwave background. We're interested in looking at more and more of these features. And then, you know, in the longer term, look at the polarization. Lots of exciting things to do with the cosmic microwave background.
Anaïs Rassat from the École Polytechnique Fédérale de Lausanne, thank you very much for having been with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Media INAF, il notiziario online dell'Istituto Nazionale di Astrofisica.